From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in the 17th century with what the New York Times calls the most organized attack on Christmas. That attack was led by the Puritans, who banned Christmas celebrations because they did not accord with their interpretation of the Bible. 400 years later, a so-called war on Christmas has led to debates among various groups of people, religious, non-religious, and political, often political, about how Christmas is celebrated and discussed. And the Times points out that there is no evidence of an organized attack on the holiday in the United States, yet the debate continues, especially over phrases like Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas. And I admit, I've had to sort of temper my cynicism before our conversation this hour because I get a little tired of hearing about a non-existent war on Christmas or people getting offended at the term Happy Holidays, how we greet each other. But I'm going to try to be open-minded, and I want to hear from everyone as you experience the holidays here. And Happy Holidays has been used as a Christmas greeting for more than 100 years, but its popularity has grown, as have concerns about sensitivity to non-Christian people and their traditions. But a 2018 NPR PBS Marist poll revealed that Merry Christmas remains the favored greeting for 56% of Americans. So this hour, it's an interfaith look at the holidays, how we greet each other, how we celebrate different traditions, how to bridge religious and political divides that can arise around the holiday season. Our guests are hosting an interfaith panel at the United Church of Pittsford tomorrow night. That starts at 7 o'clock, and we'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But first, let's welcome our guests this hour. And one of the people helping lead that is a minister with the United Church of Pittsford. Jimmy Reeder is here. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Also with us is Muhammad Shafiq. Dr. Shafiq is the director of the Hickey Center for Interfaith Studies and Dialogue at Nazareth College. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for inviting us.
And also with us is Hava Leipzig-Holzauer, who is executive director of the Konar Center for Tolerance and Jewish Studies at Nazareth College. Welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's terrific to be here.
So, Jimmy, I'm going to start with you as the minister of the United Church in Pittsford. I want to temper my cynicism when I hear about a war on Christmas. Here's why I get a little cynical. Here's an example. One of the people who in the last couple of years has sort of, you know, beat this drum about the war on Christmas is former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. And because there's always a tweet, someone found that not long ago, the state of Wisconsin wished people a happy holidays on Christmas Eve instead of Merry Christmas. And it was like, they got him. They got him. He doesn't really care. He's just trying to create controversy. But in the spirit of trying to be generous to people who actually are concerned about this, how do you view this debate about Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas this time of year?
I think it's a better context. Certainly as a minister of a Baptist, Methodist, Christian congregation, when I'm at church, it's Merry Christmas because that's part of our faith tradition. I'm very aware. I've known Dr. Shafiq for, I don't know, 15 years or so, and I live in Brighton and pastor in Pittsford. So it's a very diverse community. I go to Wegmans in Pittsford, where it's obviously a lot of diversity. And so when I'm outside of my home or the church, I'm very aware that Merry Christmas may not be the most appropriate way of greeting people.
No, it's interesting. I thought the war on Thanksgiving was actually being fought by the pro-Christmas forces who are just trying to get Christmas to start in, like, September. Because if you go to Wegmans, the people who are fighting the war against Christmas are clearly losing. It's Christmas everywhere you go. What does not bother me is Merry Christmas. What does not bother me is Happy Hanukkah. What does not bother me is Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. None of it bothers me. But let me ask our other guests. Hava, do any of those phrases bother you?
None of them bother me at all. I think a couple of points to keep in mind. I'm in the business of changing hearts and minds and bringing people together. And the holiday season is a tremendous time to be able to do that. We're doing that here today. I'm so happy to be with guests who have different primary faiths than I do and to be speaking about the same, you know, unified topic. And I think if you know the person, so I know what you celebrate, for example. I know that Jimmy celebrates Christmas. If I see him, I want to acknowledge his tradition. I want to celebrate that with him in a way. And so I'll say Merry Christmas. If I don't know the person and I don't know much about them, then I want to maybe use a term that is more inclusive and more broad and say something like Happy Holidays, because that acknowledges that they might be celebrating some tradition, but doesn't assume what it is they're celebrating. And the second thing that that brings up is part of this engagement and interaction is what the sender of the message says, right? Whether I say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays or Happy Hanukkah or Happy Hanukkah. But it's also the recipient and how you receive it. I think we're way too often easily uprooted and, you know, upset by things. And I like to say to assume good intent. Assume that the person who is giving you the greeting maybe doesn't know. I'm in a remote part of North Carolina, and at the cash register in the grocery store, they say Merry Christmas to me. I can take that in a couple of different ways. I can be terribly offended because Christmas is not the holiday that I'm celebrating at this time of year. Or I can say Merry Christmas and know that they meant that with good intent, that they wanted to say something kind, and that that's the bottom line.
Now, I think assuming good intent is always a really wise and generous and important thing to do. And too often, especially with the way things feel polarized politically, we have stopped assuming good intent. But at the same time, my sense is that for those who would be offended if someone said Happy Holidays, I'm going to generalize. I want to be careful, but I'm going to generalize. If you're actually offended that someone said Happy Holidays, my guess is what you were hoping for is a Merry Christmas. My guess is that you are, you self-identify as a Christian. And the problem I have is not that you want to be told Merry Christmas. That's fine. I'll say Merry Christmas to anybody. I'll say Happy Hanukkah, or I'll pronounce it however you like, Hava. I thought it was beautiful, by the way. But whatever the term people, I agree with you. I want to use the phraseology that feels comfortable. But by assuming it has to be Merry Christmas, it centers Christianity as sort of dominant or the most important, or, you know, when not everyone is a Christian, when not everyone may celebrate Christmas. And I do have an issue with people who might be offended at Happy Holidays. Do you?
I have an issue if they have the same knowledge as you just described. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you can't live in the U.S. of A. and not know that this is a diverse place. Even if the community you might specifically live in isn't diverse, we have television, we have internet, we know that our country has a mix of people. And so another way to approach that instead of being offended might be to use it as a teachable moment and say, hey, I celebrate Christmas. You know, you're welcome to say Merry Christmas to me. Yeah, that's how I would respond. I think it can be, and I also want to be sensitive with words, but it's easy for us as humans to go from, you know, 0 to 60 like that with our anger and our offense. And this is really a subject we're all celebrating. It's holiday time for everybody. Or, by the way, we're not celebrating. And that's okay. So if somebody gets it wrong, in your opinion, when they send you a greeting, assume good intent and use it as an opportunity, if you feel comfortable, to explain what you'd like to hear next time you come across that same person or why it makes you uncomfortable, and have a dialogue.
Dr. Shafiq, how do you see the debate?
I think that's what is the interfaith approach, what you can see. I was really, and I think it was early 90s in Rochester, I was in the Brighton school, and I thought that person is a Christian. I said to her that, Merry Christmas. And the reply was, this is not my holiday. So there are two ways, even the same with the Happy Holidays, is that all faiths are not having holidays in December. So because some are having different timings are there for different faiths, for a different communities, so how they take Happy Holidays. But I think to say to somebody who is a non-Christian, Merry Christmas, is more direct than Happy Holidays. So that's why the Happy Holiday terminology could be, to some extent, you can say neutral to be considered. But I think the problem of controversy did not come to say Merry Christmas to individuals. It came from celebrations, the way, you know, minorities, the growth of minorities brought more problems to the world also, as you see, in, especially in our country too. But I think the growth of minorities, you know, since I've been, since 70s here, you know, the growth of minorities, this issue how Christmas should be celebrated. How about other religious holidays? So that's, you know, like public places were and Christmas all decorated and the way in the schools and colleges and other public places. So that started controversy. People of other faiths would say, how about my holidays? Is our classrooms are no more of one faith. Now it is a multicultural, multi-faith dimension that we see and present in the classrooms and everywhere in our community. So that issue started from there and also from the public officials to say Merry Christmas to everybody. So how that should be and how that, you know, it should work out. I remember very well the controversies when I started on Christmas celebration in the school districts. And I was part of working out that, very much like how I pointed out, I stood for education and how to educate people on different holidays and then how holidays should be celebrated, how we can educate the kids, especially in the schools and even in the colleges. You know, people don't know Christmas comes. You say, what is the meaning of Christmas? What it means, you know, why it is celebrated in America in this way? They are unaware. They say we get gifts and family get together, but not really the religious meaning behind it. The same is about Easter. The same about other holidays of different faiths too. Hmm.
So listeners, if you want to attend the event tomorrow night, Jimmy, can you tell us about what's coming up tomorrow night?
Yes. At the United Church of Pittsford, it's 123 South Main on the corner of Sunset Boulevard. We begin at 7, go to about 8:30. We'll have a panel. The third member of the panel was not able to make it today. Stephanie Sauvé, who's the dean of the faculty at Colgate-Rochester-Crozier Divinity School, will be on the panel representing the Christian tradition, so Islam, Judaism, Christianity, which we recognize are the Abrahamic faiths. In 2 weeks, we have another event about the holidays where we will be inviting people to representing other faith traditions, Baha'i, Hinduism, Sikh, perhaps Buddhism, and so forth, recognizing that most of those faiths do not celebrate a holiday this particular time of year, but trying to expand the understanding of people in the community. It's not just it is a community night, invited for the open to the whole community, not just for members of our church, certainly.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
Right.
It's right there in the village of...
Well, it's just outside the village.
Just outside the village.
Right. Just south of the village.
Okay. So there's your event tomorrow night. And by the way, listeners, if you want to share your thoughts on how faith traditions maybe have some similar traditions, some differences, how you perceive them this time of year, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@wxxi.org. It strikes me that there's two things at play when we have to hear about this idea of a war on Christmas. There's two things happening. First of all, if you worship at the Church of George Carlin, as I tend to, you might remember the admonition that people in power and people, especially moneyed people in power, are much happier when they can get the populace divided amongst each other over their differences. So that does a very good job of making sure nobody is looking for corruption at the top, and they're just always upset with people who may be of the same social or lower social class, but, you know, are different. So the idea that there's a war on Christmas is a very effective way to get people upset with each other when there's not really a war on Christmas. Is that logical, Minister? What do you think?
Oh, I think so. Speaking as a Christian minister, I know that it's a constant challenge just with those who claim the Christian faith to separate what is simply cultural holiday stuff and specifically religious or specifically Christian. And I think for the most part, Christmas is a cultural holiday in this country. Even though it is based on the Christian faith in terms of the story and so forth, people of no faith and of various faiths have trees and lights and various other kind and extend gifts and have and so forth at different times during the year. So I think there's a cultural dimension to it. Even people who are active in church don't always observe the various kinds of things in the Christian tradition that belong to what we call the Advent season, preparing for. So I think that's helpful to distinguish between cultural and religious. And I think the cultural issue is where the fears come in. People are afraid. And I think you're right. There's a lot from the top or from some other country that has created a growing fear.
But even powerful media. I mean, certainly among media figures, it tends to be conservative leaning. And again, listeners, if you want to call and sort of complain with this take, that's fine. But when Fox News can run their War on Christmas banner for weeks or months, right, and people get angry, they watch and they interact. And that's profitable. That is a profitable mm-hmm. enterprise, creating this idea of a non-existent war on a holiday that still dominates in this country. I mean, as you said, there are plenty of atheists who celebrate Christmas. Christmas ain't going anywhere. But Fox News is very good at telling people mm-hmm. it is, and mm-hmm. that they should be worried, that they should be scared, and fear is a motivator. So that's one of the aspects. But then there is this, and I'll just read this from Robert. Evan, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that this was a Christian nation when it was founded, and it remains a Christian today, and just expecting a little empathy for Christians like me and an occasional Merry Christmas shouldn't be too much to ask. From Robert. So let's ask all three of you. What do you say to... Hava, we'll start with you. What do you say to Robert?
Merry Christmas.
That's generous.
Well, he expressed that that's the greeting that he wants to hear and that he's comfortable with. And I'm very comfortable and happy to extend that greeting. I think that the primary point that he brought up about the founding of the country as a Christian nation and continuing to be a Christian nation, I think that's part of why Jimmy's pulled us together for this important dialogue and conversation is to acknowledge that we're all equally important, equal in meaning, in stature, in relevance to the fabric of this country. And in that understanding, there is no one more important greeting than another. And that's what this is about. It's really how the individual wants to receive it, not because one group, one religious, one faith tradition or another has a higher level of importance or should be treated differently than any other.
Do you think Robert has a misreading of history and the present moment in this country? Calling it a Christian nation at its founding and still a Christian nation today.
It's not a Christian nation where I sit. I mean, I was born in this country and I've been a part of many conversations and in my work, entire body of work over the last 20 years related to discrimination or hate ideology or political ideology or religious political ideology and extremism on top of that. And you know, this is a country of all kinds of people. And I think that the foundation for most of us is living our lives and being happy and being to express and identify in a way that makes us comfortable and in a way that is true and authentic to us as individuals. And that's what I think America is today. I'll let somebody else take up the founding question.
Dr. Shafiq, what would you say to Robert?
No, that's very true. I first of all, I would say Merry Christmas. As an interfaith person, I do that exchanges. I do always and send emails to friends. Home, I know they're Christians, so that's what I do, Frank. I mean, actually, if you look into that, each faith appreciates when the person of another faith says to the person, Merry Christmas, or Happy Hanukkah, or Happy Eid, or whatever, or blessed this or that. People appreciate that. I think it's a good way of saying, I appreciate your presence here. So, you know, that is very true, is that issue that it, is it a Christian country, is a Christian nation or not? That discussion is there even from the very beginning, is a constitutional issue also, which was discussed and how this country was founded. So, but I personally believe that what it means, why this is not war on Christmas celebration, but rather it's a reminder to Christian majority. It is true. This country is a Christian majority. How to respect other minorities of faiths. So it is just a reminder. For example, like there were not religious councils, clergy councils in the school districts. When this issue came, schools created, you know, clergy councils, clergy committees to get together while we celebrate Christmas. How about to educate our kids about other faiths also who are present in the classroom that day? You know, and this brings a very good of mutual understanding and appreciation of one another. So I think it's a reminder. It's not a war. It's how to live together in a peaceful way, which we call peaceful coexistence, instead of rejecting one or another, maybe a few or maybe in a majority, but rather we appreciate every human being in his or what, you know, in their own space or in their own place.
So, Jimmy, as I think about what Dr. Shafiq just said about the fact that if you just look at the statistics, okay, it's a majority Christian nation, yes, so maybe that's what Robert in the email is referring to. What I detect is a sense of entitlement that, well, I'm part of the majority religion, so get on board at least this time of year. This is my time of year, and it's everybody's time. That's what this country is. As opposed to showing sort of a generosity of spirit that is more reflected in what Dr. Shafiq just said. I mean, so I guess I was a little uncomfortable with Robert's email, to be honest with you. How did it make you feel?
Speaking as a Christian minister, I was ordained 50 years ago as a minister, so I've been at this a long time. I certainly don't think that it's a lack of empathy on anyone's part to recognize that not all people are Christian, and so to acknowledge that there's a place for more than one expression of what is very much a cultural holiday. I also think that we are a culturally Christian nation. I don't think we are a religiously Christian nation. I am of the part.
No, you have to elaborate a little bit on that. And Casey on the phone, I'll get our first phone call in just a minute. So Casey, hang there for a second. But when you say we are more of a culturally Christian, but not as religiously Christian, explain.
I certainly don't think that Fox News is religiously Christian, but it is culturally Christian. And even within churches that I pastored in several states, so nothing about Pittsford or Rochester here, everywhere that I've served as a Christian pastor, there are a great many people who are culturally Christian. They would claim the Christian faith. They don't necessarily live that way. They don't necessarily go deeper into the matters of the faith. Speaking as a minister, I know how difficult that can be. And so I think it's an important distinction for Christians to make, to recognize that there's a cultural reality and there's a religious reality. Even like with Veterans Day or Memorial Day, there's nothing specifically Christian in our faith about either of those times. But if we don't acknowledge and include that as a part of our worship at those times of years, a year, a lot of people in the churches I serve are very upset. It's a cultural expression of something that's tied to faith, but it's not specifically a part of our Christian faith. So I think it's important to make those distinctions as we have this conversation. And so if we're dealing with cultural realities, then we recognize that within our American culture, as Hava said, there's a growing diversity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people are having trouble with. I think that's what they're afraid of. I'm a very privileged person in this country and in this world. I'm a white, male, heterosexual, and in this country, Christian person who was able to go to college free in the 60s in California, and on and on and on. A fairly reasonable health and not too bad looking. So, I mean, I'm, and no disabilities. I mean, I really do have an awful lot of privilege. And I think that's a part of what's going on right now, whether it's around this discussion of Christmas and holidays or in the larger frame of conversation.
When it comes to culturally Christian, mm-hmm. is it your sense that that as an identity is important to people?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which might be like a perfect circle on the Venn diagram of people who claim to hate identity politics. But they seemed very beholden to the identity without even really realizing.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And you know also that religion and culture could be hardly separated. You know, the two intersect very well. So how holidays are taken is cultural also mm-hmm. along with religion. So
if I were born in Pakistan, would I be a Christian? Maybe not.
Well, right? maybe not. Yeah, because maybe. We have a lot of Christians there too. Yeah. But that's very
well,
true.
I know.
Yeah,
but it is there is the cultural reality. Yeah. I mean,
I
go to church every Sunday. You know, right? That's a part of culture.
Let me grab on the phone Casey in Rochester first. Go ahead, Casey.
Hey, how you doing, Evan? I love your show. It is awesome.
Thank you.
First of all, Fox is made up of pinheads and morons. So
let's be a little kinder than that. Let's be a little kinder than that, but go ahead.
All righty. Oh, that was pretty kind, but okay. So I have the perfect PC wish. So I wish people a non-denominational, non-gender-based day of eating and drinking. That way you can't get anybody upset. So.
Okay. That's Casey's way of offering a greeting. At least the spirit of being open to everyone is there, which I think is a nice thing. But let's try to be kind to everyone, no matter what news network we're talking about or backgrounds, et cetera, as we talk about Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas and Interfaith Look at the Holidays. It's tomorrow, 7 o'clock, as part of the Community Nights at the United Church of Pittsford. That's at 123 South Main Street. They'd like to see you there. They'll have a panel representing Jewish, Muslim, and Christian faiths, presenting not only their religious traditions, but also inviting everyone to have a dialogue about how we differ and how we don't, what we have in common. So we're talking this hour to Minister Jimmy Reeder from the United Church Pittsford. Hava Leipzig-Holtzauer is Executive Director of the Konar Center for Tolerance and Jewish Studies at Nazareth College. Mohammed Shafiq is Director of the Hickey Center for Interfaith Studies and Dialogue at Nazareth. After our only break of the hour, I hope our guests will indulge me a couple of questions. I heard Dr. Shafiq mention Eid. And I missed the chance to say Happy Eid earlier this year, but it's in the summer, and if this is a new term for you listeners, let's talk about what it is and what it means and what it's about. I'm also curious to know from Hava, you know, sort of how we differentiate for Jewish families, for whom some say Happy Hanukkah and celebrate in a way that's a little bit more perhaps overlapping with modern traditions of Christmas versus not. So we'll talk about what Hanukkah means. So a lot to talk about after our only break of the hour right here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on the next Connections, Pittsford Town Supervisor Bill Smith recently won re-election. He joins us in studio to talk about that race and the future of his town. Then in our second hour, according to the American Cancer Society, as many as 20% of people who die from lung cancer have never smoked or used any other form of tobacco. The rates of non-smokers related lung cancer are on the rise. We're joined by medical professionals talking symptoms. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Andy says, Happy Festivus, Evan Dawson. Thank you, Andy. If you're celebrating Festivus, it's amazing that Seinfeld holiday still has some momentum in 2019. But hey, whatever you happen to be celebrating. You mentioned Happy Eid. And the calendar tells me that Eid al-Adha is in 2020 in the United States will begin in the evening of Thursday, July 30th, and ending the following evening. Tell me about Eid.
So the Muslims have two major religious festivals. One is Ramadan is considered very spiritual and, the significance of Ramadan. And so end of Ramadan is followed by Eid al-Fitr, in other words, a festivity of the breaking of the fast, end of the fasting month celebration. So that is called Eid al-Fitr, which is very significant, very much like Yom Kippur atonement. That is also attached to the Ramadan and this end of celebration that God may forgive the sins of the person who may have committed, while participating in the celebration of Eid al-Fitr, prayers and, all of that followed. So the human rights are very important. You know, we always remind as clergy to the community that God may not forgive the human rights. So you have to do your own efforts if you have transgressed against anybody or used wrong language. Are hateful words that you go to that person and ask for forgiveness. God will forgive the rest, but human rights are significant. Similarly, the second festival is also, both are religiously associated. Hajj, the Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca and places like that. That is the Eid al-Adha is the feast of sacrifice. So Eid al-Adha is the Abrahamic feast of sacrifice, which the Muslims celebrate. You know, there is a bit of difference. Not much emphasis is there that the Muslims believe it was Ishmael close to Makkah, Mina, that Abraham finally put him to be sacrificed, and the lamb came from the heaven. So the rest of the things are very similar, what Jewish and Christian thinking about the lamb is. So that followed Hajj. Hajj means pilgrimage. Actually, the pilgrimage is walking in the footsteps of Abraham and his family, Hagar and Ishmael, of what they did. So the sacrifice happened at the end. So that is celebration. And even now, Muslims try, anywhere they live, even in Rochester, at least to give a sacrifice of one lamb or goat or, you know, things like that on that day of Eid al-Adha after the prayers are done. So that is a commitment to the Abrahamic legacy in Muslim.
Are they the same? Is Eid tend to be on the same day each year, or is it changed?
No, Muslims follow lunar calendar, but okay. They don't fix it. So Ramadan is, this year, then 2020 Ramadan will be in May and will be ending on June 4th, something like that. So the lunar calendar is 11 days. Sort of it, less than the solar calendar. Since Muslims don't fix it, so Ramadan goes throughout the year. Somebody asked me a question, you know, why you don't do something? I said, if I had authority, I would have fixed Ramadan in December because that's, you know, the days are very short. But in summer, you know, it was last year in June, now it's coming to May, it's about 17 hours long.
That's brutal.
But some of the youth, which they have the, you know, soccer and other, they are in the high school. And they would go to soccer and they will be fasting. I said, they said, no, I'm okay to fast it. You know, when I advise them what they can do.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something. I do it myself in this age also, yet I'm able to fast. So for old age and people who are chronically sick or this and that, it is, they need not to fast. But you see, the month of Ramadan, fasting, if you cannot fast for one or another reason, you need to feed the poor and those who needs to be helped. Mm-hmm. So that's something attached to it also.
Thank you for the background on the holidays. I appreciate that. And on the subject of, before I get to Joyce in Penfield, hang there, Joyce, because I want to take your call in just a moment. On the subject of Hanukkah, forgive sort of the oversimplification, but in modern years, in some circles, it involves gift giving, sometimes all 8 nights of Hanukkah. That might reflect or at least sort of draw similarities to sort of secular Christmas gift giving. How do you view it? I mean, is it celebrated? What's important to keep in mind about Hanukkah?
So if you speak to 10 different Jewish persons, you'll get 13 answers to that question. So in my home with my family and my kids, we do presents all 8 nights, but we also do other things that are related to the holiday. We always do mitzvah projects, which are community service projects. We have done a project for at least the last 10 years where we go and we distribute food. We bring it to the homes of seniors who no longer are in contact with their families and are alone on the holidays, and we do things like that. But the holiday of Hanukkah, it's a wintertime festival of lights that lasts for 8 days, and it was started 2nd century BCE. There was a time when the Syrian Greeks were in charge of the Holy Land and had taken over the temple for the Hebrews, and they fought with the Syrian Greeks and the Judah of Maccabee is the character or the person that we hear a lot about, who led this small sort of ragtag army of Hebrews in a fight against the Syrian Greeks, who far outnumbered and were the largest army of the time, and they won and took the land back and rededicated the temple. And the other sort of piece that we hear a lot about is the menorahs and the candlelighting and the oil that lasted 8 days when it should have only lasted 1. And so we carry that story to the way that we commemorate and celebrate Hanukkah today. And we light this menorah, and we're supposed to, by the way, do it publicly so that it's seen by other people on the street. And it's supposed to do a number of things. And so this is, in addition to the gift giving, what many of us try to impart among our own families or within our own families, which is that never give up hope. You might be small, or you might be outnumbered, or you might be in the minority, but you matter also, and you should stand up for what you believe in. These are the messages to give tzedakah, to always, which is charity, to appreciate sort of where you're at and have gratitude and be able to help others. The idea of the candle lights, excessively more candles are lit each night, right? So it's one the first night, two the next night. That means there's more light each day. And that's, in a way, what we're supposed to think about. That you might have had a great day or been really good or done something good today or said something nice or been kind. Tomorrow, you have to add a little more to that and do a little bit more. So it is a holiday that is rich with meaningful ideas. So I think that a lot of modern Jewish families in America today will combine elements of both of these things. They try to impart the rich meaning behind the holiday, and at the same time, we're in this diverse community where there's a lot of fun in celebrating and a lot of fun in getting, gifting, and receiving gifts, and so we do that too.
Minister, reader, when you think about your own faith and you think about what it means to be religiously Christian, not just culturally Christian this time of year, for this holiday, what does it mean to you?
One of the things that has been lost to a great extent among Christians is the observance of Advent, which is not a celebration, but historically it was a penitential time, a time much like Eid, to take a look at, to prepare ourselves by looking within and seeing what we're doing that we should not be doing and things that we're not doing that we should be doing. And I think that's almost entirely been lost. Christmas doesn't actually begin until the 25th, when even the radio stations stop playing Christmas on the 26th. You know, that's the second day of Christmas. I think a lot of the meaning and purpose behind our observance of Advent and our celebration of Christmas has been lost. And so when I say religiously, I mean taking a look at the deeper meaning of what it is that we do and why we do it. Even the idea of gift giving in the Christian tradition came primarily out of, Christians would say, the gift of God's Son to all the world. I mean, that's our faith. And so the whole idea of gift giving has, for Christians, that background. I think that's almost been totally lost with marketing and everything else anymore. And people spend so much money on gifts, they don't stop and think about the meaning behind. A great many people do not. I don't want to generalize too much. So I think with the Christian observance of Christmas, if we really take it to heart within our own faith tradition, we have to remember the story and what is behind that story and all the ideas of gift giving and all of the rest, what for our faith tradition that means and where it comes from.
So
yeah, go ahead, Dr. Shea.
I think the thing which I brought before, that the students are unaware of the significance of holidays, especially the spiritual aspect of it. You know, in a classroom, as I said before, you ask a student what Christmas means or what Easter means. You know, mm-hmm. That's so important, actually, spiritually, to know the meaning. Similarly, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Har Pesach, and Passover. I mean, these are religiously very, very significant, you know, the holidays for each faith when they celebrate, the same as Eid celebration, things like that. So what we need, and so when I conduct these classes for religious professionals or for school teachers or even business professionals, because now, you know, in the business setup, you don't have the same, I mean, everybody's not of the same faith. So somebody may be taking off one day. So you need to know how to greet, how to do that, and also the significance behind it, why that holiday is celebrated, why Easter is so important, so significant for Christians. Similarly, Christmas, why Rosh Hashanah is so significant for Jewish people, and we are just talking about Abrahamic, I'm not going to others, or especially Yom Kippur or Passover. Similarly, why Ramadan, why Eid al-Fitr, why Hajj, why Eid al-Adha. I mean, all of this in the Abrahamic setup, it has spiritual meaning. You know, the world has become too materialistic. And that's why it's even religious holidays are attached to gifts giving, businesses, this and that, you know, how the decoration happens. The spiritual aspect is very important. Material is good, but materialism takes away peace of mind. So that spiritual aspects once or twice a year that you remind your congregation. You know, somebody told me, my Jewish rabbi's friends, he said, Shafiq, and Yom Kippur, everybody comes to Yom Kippur gathering. So you can see the huge crowds. You know, religious holidays bring a similar. Easter brings huge crowds. Christmas brings huge crowds to the church. Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, we celebrate it in a bigger space. So that means what we need to teach and how to bring people towards spirituality, peacefulness, and also reminding them what is their role in this universe.
Let me get back to your phone calls. Joyce from Pemfield is next. Go ahead, Joyce.
Hi, Evan. Thanks so much for tackling this issue, as you do so many significant and thorny ones. I appreciate the thoughtful panelists and their suggestions for handling the Christmas issue graciously while having conversations that can lead to greater understanding. I'm wondering with those who say that there's a war on Christmas, it is as if there is an assumption that the norm of this country is Christian, and if you are not Christian, you are other, just as though people assume the norm is white, and if you are not white, you are other, so that there is a sense of exclusion, and you don't quite belong. And in terms of the issue of history raised by a caller, I don't think it's often specifically remembered that our founders were not specifically Christian. They were theists, and they were concerned about the oppression that happens when the government and the church are the same. That was part of why they were here, and that led to the Establishment Clause, which, as we know, specifically does separate church and state. So it's always a bit of a mystery to me when people go back and say that our country was founded to be a Christian country.
Joyce, thank you so much for that. In fact, I'm really glad you called to sort of make that point following Robert's email, because while I would never say that Christianity wasn't an important force in the early sort of American project and what was happening as these colonies became a country, the idea that it was monolithically Christian and there wasn't even disagreement among the founders of that, Joyce is right. They were theists, they were Christians, they were people of very different viewpoints, but they had serious concerns about the impact and the power of religion. I just want to know if our guests want to add anything there, anything you want to add to the phone call. Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, my ordination is with Baptists. Baptists were founded around religious freedom and freedom of conscience. And the founder of the Baptist Church in America, Roger Williams, welcomed everyone and, in fact, went on to become something other than Baptist and perhaps probably something other than Christian in terms of, or more than, you know, something more than the traditional meaning of that term. I think there's always been that element in this country. I've read all the stuff because people ask me to, in my background, all the stuff about that's with all the quotes that are lifted from various places of the founders, mm-hmm. that claim to say that this is a Christian nation. I read all the other people that do their research and find all the other quotes that say almost just the opposite. I think we just have to sort out these things for ourselves and not be defensive about what we've always been taught. This is a Christian nation. When I, 25 years ago, I was in a small town in Kansas. Wednesday night was still church night, and they were discussing whether the schools could schedule anything on Wednesday nights because that was church nights. That's only 25 years ago. Now, that idea of schools not scheduling anything even on Sunday mornings is just really far gone. So it's not in that sense a community that is focused on Christianity. It's a Pittsford, Brighton, certainly, are communities that have recognized that there is a great deal of diversity. And I think it's important for us in the church, the Christian church, as elsewhere, to recognize that reality.
Thank you, Joyce. Owen writes to us to say, Evan, my name is Owen. I'm 25 years old. I feel that much of the conversation here is based around faith, rightfully so. But with the second biggest religious group in the United States being non-religious, I feel that a voice in the conversation is being missed. Mm-hmm. Most people I know my age are not religious at all, but associate the holiday more with family and friends than anything. And isn't that what the holidays are supposed to be about? That comes from Owen. And first of all, Owen, I appreciate that message very much. And certainly the holidays are sort of about what you make them about. And I think that's part of what Jimmy's point is. I didn't hear Minister Reeder sort of harshly criticizing Christians, but I think I hear him sort of reminding people of some of the history and the traditions and the beliefs that form the core of what most of December is leading up to Christmas, which doesn't start till the 25th. But for Owen and sort of maybe his group of the nuns, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E, the growing group of nuns in this country. Yeah, sure, it's about what you make it about. I am curious to know, though, based on Owen's email, as we talk interfaith dialogue, do the nuns have a place at the table in interfaith dialogue? Heba.
Absolutely. No question, no room for doubt in that answer. I think that we're all on a spectrum. We're all on a continuum of sorts. Very few of us are in exactly the same place as the other, and it's extremely important to meet people where they're at. There's a lot of folks who might consider themselves nuns, but also consider themselves very spiritual. And their practice and their relationship to the universe might be through food, through yoga practice, through meditation, through, kindness. And in my book, I'm very comfortable with that and think that it is absolutely an equal seat at the round table.
Okay. Dr. Shafiq?
It's very true that as all of us as people having, like nuns, they're very much part of interfaith dialogue. You can see that, interfaith doesn't mean alone people of faith, meaning all sorts of people, whatever their faith, their belief could be, meaning whether faith or spirituality, what is the difference between faith and spirituality. But nuns are very much the same spiritual people as people of faith could be. So that doesn't mean, so we in the Interfaith Center, the responsibility which we have, we include everybody. Even in the high school program, the Global Citizenship, we have special program on humanism, atheism. So you can see that, how different classes happen. So meaning that we cannot grow unless and until we bring everybody together. So that is the meaning of interfaith also. And, the secular holidays are getting more momentum also to see how that should be celebrated in the country.
Okay. Jimmy, good enough for you?
Well, I would add that the reason that we scheduled a second community night in 2 weeks on the 17th is to recognize that this first week is focused on the Abrahamic faiths. We recognize there are a great many other faiths and a great many people in this world who are not Islamic, Jewish, or Christian. So we've been focused on that because of the nature of our panel tomorrow night. We will give our attention to the other, and I think because we've focused the whole thing around religious differences, we probably didn't. Well, we didn't in the planning of all
sure.
this recognize the other.
Right.
In church research now, there's another category, the duns.
The
duns. They're just done with church. They're spiritual. They may say I follow Jesus. Because they grew up with the Christian faith. But they don't want to claim to be Christian or go to church because of what they see there. And
does that trouble you?
It does. It does. I've given my whole life to this. And so it certainly does concern me. It's why I'm an honest critic of the church, even though my whole life has been committed to it and will continue to be so.
About 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, when we meet with the class and first time, we ask them, what is your tradition? What is your faith? And many of them would say, well, I had this faith, but now I'm more spiritual. And how they take spirituality, meaning there is a ongoing sort of discussion between the traditional faiths mm-hmm. and spirituality. And you can see the next generation, how much they are reluctant or why they are reluctant to go to traditional faiths.
That's a whole other conversation. And Hava, go ahead.
Just hearing the comments from our callers and our panelists, it makes me think that I've always thought the idea in Fox News' ticker of a war on Christmas in that capacity has been aggrandized. But I think the war, or war being a bit of a strong word, maybe more the conflict or the struggle, is more of an intra-faith or intra-non-faith war on our holidays, because we judge the way each other choose to acknowledge or celebrate that holiday. So, you know, you're too materialistic in the way that you celebrate holidays, or you shouldn't give so many gifts, or, you know, you didn't even go to church. You're not really taking in the understanding of this holiday.
And let me jump in just because we're going to lose the hour here and say that a lot more of this kind of discussion tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in Pittsburgh. Thanks to all of our panelists for a great conversation this hour. Thanks for the entire team.